Welcome to the deep dive. So if you're active in decentralized finance, you are, constantly hearing about the promise of yield from liquidity provision, LPing.
Oh, absolutely.
You deposit your tokens, you earn trading fees. It sounds so straightforward. But if you've actually tried it, you know the frustrating reality. The true net return, what you actually bank, is often just completely consumed by these hidden operational costs.
It's the silent killer of profitability. I mean, those high APY numbers you see advertised, they're basically meaningless if gas costs, impermanent loss, all that management overhead, it's secretly eating like 80% of your gross earnings.
Exactly. So today, we are moving past the hype.
Yeah.
We've been diving into a really robust stack of sources, a comprehensive guide that lays out the optimization framework for LPing, focusing on fee tiers and, critically, gas economics.
Our mission here is to give you the blueprint. You need to know how to precisely estimate your potential gross fees, confidently subtract the network costs, and then select the right chain and the right pool to make sure your profitability isn't just a promise.
But a calculated reality.
A calculated reality.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to start with the single biggest antagonist to net profitability, especially for anyone operating on a smaller scale, the gas cost cliff. If you decided to start your LP journey on Ethereum mainnet on L1, well, you are immediately entering a fight you probably can't win without massive capital.
You just have to face the sobering reality of numbers. I mean, even the most basic operations on L1 are cost prohibitive for most LPs. To add liquidity, you're looking at maybe $50, maybe $150, depending on network congestion.
And to take it out.
To remove liquidity, another $30 to $100.
But the real pain point, the thing for active management, which is what helps you mitigate impermanent loss,
Yeah,
is rebalancing.
exactly. I mean, if you're trying to keep your position profitable by adjusting your price ranges, rebalancing, you could easily pay $100, $200, maybe even $300 for one transaction during peak times.
Wow.
That's just not a manageable expense. That's essentially taking a cash debt every single time you try to protect your own capital. So what position size does it take just to break even on L1, given those expenses?
Based on our analysis, L1 is only viable for positions that are large and, mostly passive. You need to be looking at a minimum of $25,000, probably closer to $50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, just to justify the cost of occasional maintenance. I mean, think about it. If you have a $5,000 position and you pay $150 to add it, you've instantly taken a 3% loss.
Right.
If you then manage it once a month at, say, $100 a pop, that's $1,200 a year in management fees. You are just sinking that small position.
So that $25,000 to $50,000 threshold isn't arbitrary. It's the point where those maintenance costs finally drop to, what, a negligible percentage of your total capital?
Precisely. If you generate, say, $3,000 in fees a year on a $50,000 position, that $1,200 in gas stings, but you're still net positive.
Okay.
If you generate $300 in fees on a $5,000 position, you've already lost money. The fixed cost of gas just crushes the small LP.
This is why the conversation about layer twos, L2s, isn't just about speed, it's about democratization. The rise of L2s is that aha moment that makes LPing accessible and, profitable for everyone else.
It completely revolutionizes the economics. Look at the primary L2s like Arbitrum or Optimism. Your transaction costs just drop dramatically.
How dramatically?
Adding liquidity moves from potentially $150 down to maybe 50 cents to $2, collecting your fees, a trivial 20 cents to a dollar. Rebalancing is no longer a strategic decision based on cost.
It's a tactical one based on need.
Right. And what does that do to our minimum viability threshold?
They must just plummet.
It makes active management totally viable, even for retail investors. The minimum position drops from $25,000 down to maybe $500 or $1,000 on those networks.
Wow.
And if you look at the hyper-low-cost chains like Base or Polygon, where transaction costs can be in the 10 to 50 cent range, you can legitimately explore profitable LPing with positions as small as $100 to $500.
That is truly the difference between like a high-stakes casino and an actual financial tool. But for those running positions in that mid-range, say $10,000, what are the specific gas optimization strategies they should be implementing, even on an L2?
Even when gas is cheap, you shouldn't be careless. First, batch your operations. If you need to approve two tokens before adding liquidity, look for protocols that let you do it in one function call, or at least execute them back to back.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, time your transactions. Gas prices still fluctuate. Weekends are generally cheaper. Avoid those high-traffic U.S. market hours if you can afford to wait.
And the third strategy, this connects back to that managing debt we were talking about.
Minimize rebalancing. Don't get obsessed with super tight ranges just because a tutorial said so. If you're dealing with blue chip pairs on L2, set slightly wider ranges that minimize how often you have to rebalance.
Because even small costs add up.
Right. Paying $5 every week to adjust a range that hasn't moved enough to justify it is still suboptimal. You have to factor in the transaction cost plus your time.
So the non-negotiable takeaway here is if your capital is under $25,000, you are functionally locked out of profitable L1 LPing. L2 is your required starting point.
100%.
Okay, so now that we've established how to minimize the money flowing out, let's pivot to maximizing gross revenue, the money flowing in. And this really starts with selecting the right fee tier, particularly within the Uniswap framework, which is, you know, the standard across DeFi.
Absolutely. The fee tier is your first and arguably your most important strategic decision. It dictates the entire risk-reward profile. You're essentially setting a toll price for traders.
And that price has to be right.
It has to perfectly match the expected volatility of the pair you're providing liquidity for.
Okay, so let's walk through the four standard tiers. Let's connect them directly to their use cases, starting with the lowest one.
That's the 0.01% tier, or one basis point. This is exclusively for ultra-stable pairs. Think USDCDAI, or two assets that are designed to track each other very closely, like RoosDeeth and ETH.
So high volume, low margin, super low volatility.
Exactly. This tier maximizes volume because the trading friction is minimal. You expect the highest utilization here, but you have to be very aggressive with tight price ranges.
Okay, so what about the default, the standard tier?
That's the 0.05% tier, or five basis points. This is the recommended tier for the major blue chip pairs, you know, your ETH-SEC or WBTC. It strikes the ideal balance.
How so?
It's competitive enough to attract significant volume, but the fee slice is large enough to compensate LPs for the moderate volatility in these assets.
Oh.
Honestly, it's the perfect starting point for most beginners on an L2.
Next up, we step up in volatility and risk.
Right. We move to the 0.3% tier, 30 basis points. This was the legacy standard for Uniswap V2. You use this for more exotic, less correlated, or just inherently volatile pairs.
So the volume will be lower here.
Yeah, the volume will be lower than the 5 BP tier, but the higher fee compensates for that increased risk of impermanent loss. This is where you put your long tail assets.
And if you're feeling really adventurous, there's that final category.
That's the maximum fee capture, the 1% tier, 100 basis points. This is reserved for brand new tokens, highly experimental pairs, or, you know, true meme coins.
The Wild West.
Totally. The market volatility is so extreme here that you need the highest possible fee just to justify the risk of massive impermanent loss. You accept low volume because the alternative is getting completely drained by volatility.
Okay, just to quickly check understanding against the source materials framework.
Yeah.
If you are LPing the stablecoin pair, USDC, USDT, where you belong?
Without hesitation, 0.01%, any higher, and the trade will just route somewhere else.
And what if you are LPing between a volatile mid-cap altcoin and ETH?
You're likely looking at 0.3%. You need that higher protection against the volatility swings. Matching the tier to the behavior is just, it's non-negotiable.
That segmentation leads us directly to what might be the absolute most critical metric you have to check before you commit a single dollar. It's the metric that separates pools that look good from pools that are good. We are talking about the volume below TVL ratio.
This is the flashlight you shine into the pool to see if it's actually active or if it's just a capital graveyard. High total value locked, or TVL, is such a classic vanity metric in DeFi.
You're right.
A pool can have billions locked up, but if no one is actually trading through it, the liquidity providers earn nothing.
The goal is utilization, not depth. So how exactly do we calculate and interpret this ratio?
The calculation is really straightforward. You take the daily volume traded through the pool and you divide it by the total value locked, the TVL, in that pool. The number you get is your utilization ratio.
And what are our benchmarks? What's good, what's bad?
We have very clear cutoffs. If that ratio is greater than 0.5, that pool is exceptional. It's highly efficient, basically a toll road with Hobie traffic.
Okay.
A ratio between 0.1 and 0.5 is good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see a ratio less than 0.1, you should consider that a massive warning sign. That pool has poor utilization, and your capital will likely just sit there, dormant.
Let's walk through the shocking comparison from our source material, because this is where the metric really gains its power. We're comparing pool A and pool B, and pool B has the impressive looking numbers.
Right. Pool B has $100 million in TVL. Huge. Pool A has only $10 million in TVL, 10 times smaller. But pool A has $2 million in daily volume. Pool B, despite its size, only sees $1 million in daily volume.
So pool A's volume TVL ratio is $2 divided by $10, which is 0.2. 2. That's a good, solid utilization rate.
It is. But pool B's ratio is $1 divided by $100, which gives us 0.01. That is terrible utilization.
It's a ghost town.
It's the equivalent of a massive 8-lane freeway that sees 2 cars an hour.
So let's see how that translates to profitability for me, the individual LP. Say I put $10,000 into both of those pools and we'll assume a standard 0.3% fee rate for both.
Okay, in pool B, your $10,000 position is capturing only 0.01% of the overall liquidity. If you run the fee calculation, that position generates a meager $9 a month.
$9.
$9. It's nothing. That money is trapped and actively losing value to inflation, not to mention any gas costs if you tried to manage it.
$9 a month on a $10,000 position is just utterly pointless.
Now look at pool A. Because the TVL is so much smaller, your $10,000 position captures a much higher share, 0.1% of the liquidity. That same position generates $180 per month.
Wow.
Pool A generates 20 times more fees than pool B, despite being 10 times smaller in total capital. And that's the core insight. Never chase high TVL. Chase high utilization, always.
That is the perfect transition. So we've minimized our costs with L2s. We've maximized gross revenue potential using the right fee tier and the volume TVL ratio. Now let's use the complete fee calculation framework. Gross fees minus gas costs equals our net profitability.
Let's run that viable example we analyzed, which really demonstrates why L2 changes everything. We're modeling an actively managed position that needs to be profitable.
Okay, the setup. $10,000 capital. The pool has $1 million in TVL and $500,000 in daily volume. We select the 0.05% fee rate, and critically, the network is Arbitrum, an L2.
Okay, step one is determining your share. $10,000 capital divided by $1 million in TVL means you own 1% of the pool.
Got it.
Step two, calculate the daily gross fee for the whole pool. $500,000 in volume multiplied by the 0.05% fee rate equals $250 in total pool fees per day.
So my 1% share of that $250 daily fee is $2.50. So my monthly gross fees come out to approximately $75.
Now, step three, the gas calculation. Because we're on Arbitrum, we can afford to be active. So let's amortize the initial cost of adding liquidity over a year, assume you collect fees weekly, and maybe rebalance biweekly to optimize your range. Total estimated monthly gas costs for that active schedule are around $12.
Okay, so $75 gross fees minus $12 in gas costs. That leaves us with $63 net profit per month.
Which translates to an APY of about 7.56% before you even account for impermanent loss.
Mm-hmm.
That number is viable. It's a calculated profitable position that only works because the gas overhead is so low.
So what are the actionable optimization strategies we can use to push that APY even higher beyond just hitting that volume TVL ratio above 0.3?
There are three advanced strategies. First is fee tier arbitrage. This is where you monitor the same token pair across all its available fee tiers, the 0.05%, the 0.3%, the 1%, to see if volume suddenly migrates.
Why would it do that?
Shifts in liquidity, bot behavior. If it does, you quickly move your capital there to capture it.
That sounds like it requires constant vigilance.
It does. Which leads to the second strategy, cross-protocol optimization. Comparing the same pair on different protocols on the same chain. This is where we saw the source material's biggest revelation.
Oh, that scenario was jaw-dropping. A $20,000 position that was stuck on L1 was only netting, what, $10 a month after gas?
It was completely stagnant. But when that capital was moved to a protocol called Aerodrome on the base L2 chain, which offered better utilization and daily token emissions on top of the trading fees, the net monthly return soared to $297.
A nearly 30-fold improvement.
A 30x improvement. That enormous jump just proves you have to constantly compare protocols. Sometimes the incentive layer, like daily emissions, is the actual profit driver, not just the fees.
That $297 example is the perfect illustration of net calculation in practice.
For sure.
We briefly have to touch on advanced concepts because the fee landscape is always changing. Fixed fee tiers, while they're simple, they feel kind of like a legacy structure in such a dynamic world.
We are definitely seeing the rise of dynamic fee models. The source material points to protocols like Meteora, which is fascinating. They adjust the fees charged to traders based on current volatility and pool utilization.
Yeah, so the system automatically demands a higher toll when the risk to the LP is highest.
Exactly. When volatility spikes, or when the pool is highly utilized, the LP gets compensated more because their risk of impermanent loss, that potential divergence loss between the two assets, is peaking.
So you're paid for taking on risk.
You're paid to endure risk, which is a huge improvement.
Yeah.
And looking ahead, you know, Uniswap V4 hooks promise custom fee logic, letting developers implement time-weighted or volatility-based fees tailored exactly to the asset.
Okay, before we wrap up this blueprint, let's quickly hit the common pitfalls. If you're starting out, what are the top mistakes you have to avoid?
Mistake number one, choosing the wrong fee tier. If you mismatch volatility, say putting a high-risk altcoin in the total 0.05% pool, you'll be wiped out by impermanent loss before you earn enough fees to matter. Match the tier to the risk.
Mistake two, ignoring gas costs. We can't say it enough. You have to calculate net fees. L2 adoption is mandatory for most LPs.
Mistake number three, which flows from the first two, using L1 for positions under $25,000. It's not a viable financial choice. It's a vanity choice that guarantees a loss.
And finally, the operational trap, over-optimizing your fees and rebalancing.
Yeah, the fix here is to balance your potential fees with the actual time and gas cost of management. You might see a potential APY increase of 1% by tightening your range, but if it costs you $5 every week to adjust that range, you've just negated the benefit.
Right.
Sometimes a wider, less managed range on an L2 generates higher net returns because you aren't constantly paying those management fees.
This has been a truly comprehensive framework. Let's recap the four critical steps you need to take starting today to ensure your LPing is actually profitable.
One, fee tiers must always match the pair's volatility, 0.01% for stablecoins, 1% for assets facing extreme price swings.
Two, the volume TVL ratio is your mandatory benchmark. If you see utilization below 0.1, you are looking at a stagnant pool. You have to walk away.
Three, L2 is not optional. It is essential for profitability for any position under $25,000. It just democratizes the entire process.
And four, always, always calculate your net fees, your gross fees minus all your gas costs. That is the only number that defines your true return.
And that leads us to the final provocative thought that really encapsulates this entire deep dive. Optimization is absolutely the difference between profitability and loss, but at the end of the day, liquidity provision is only financially sound if your fees exceed the total cost, which means gas costs plus impermanent loss, mastering that final IL mitigation. That is the next essential layer of being an expert liquidity provider. Go calculate your net profitability.